permanent state of being a sponge to those around me. One of my earliest memories was in kindergarten, where I witnessed classmates making fun of another student. I could feel the same emotional pain that that child was feeling as if it were my own, and I began to cry. It just broke my heart to see someone being mocked and teased for just being themselves. I couldn't understand how anyone would want to be so cruel to another. Fast forward to the fourth grade, where there was a girl in my class that had been homeschooled for a long period of time, and she was now attending public school. Christine was very different from the rest of our class. At that time in my youth, it was becoming more important to me to fit in and be cool. I was not part of the popular girls group that I so desperately wanted to be a part of, and I didn't want to be thought of as weird or different either. So, to protect myself from being the loner or a different one, I jumped in and I helped contribute to gossip and judgment of this sweet girl. A girl who was being mocked for just being herself, trying to be brave in the face of pure cruelty. In this case, I was the one being cruel to another. I chose selfishness and ego over justice and kindness. When I read about the leaders and soldiers mocking Jesus up on the cross, I relate to it in both ways. I'm heartbroken for the cruelty that he receives because it's not deserved. But unfortunately, I understand it too, because I too have been cruel to others. No, I didn't literally crucify Christine, but I socially crucified her. I feel shame reading this scripture because I know I'm capable of going with the crowd. I am not immune to the human condition to protect myself no matter what. This realization can bring up fear for us too. We realize that we are all in this precarious position where we may be easily swayed away from compassion when mob rule becomes the mode of operation. Martin Luther hit the nail on the head when he declared that we as humans are both 100% saint and 100% sinner all at once. We have choice, and therefore we may sometimes choose our safety and desires over sacrificing those for another. Now, an important side note, we are never called to be a victim or to do any sort of service that is creating unhealthy dynamics for our own life. Our service and help for others should come from a heart overflowing with gratitude, motivated by love and not by fear or obligation. Service to others that is hurting our mental, physical, or emotional health is not what Jesus invites us to. The leaders of that time were so frustrated that this Jesus, claiming to be the Son of Man, did not live his life as they did. They followed the rules of government and the Jewish law, the very same rules that Jesus challenged. He was calling humanity to a new way of living, which challenged everything these leaders knew. He was speaking a new language of love, a new faith that didn't require all of your focus inward by focusing on following law, but instead a focus on praising the Creator and serving others. A call to love those that are different than us. A call to love everyone, period. Another emotion that I have from this scripture is amazement. I am amazed at the love and forgiveness Jesus extends to his captors on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus asks his Father to extend love and forgiveness to them. He knows they are only fulfilling their role in his destiny, not understanding in the moment the magnitude of who Jesus really is. They truly thought he was breaking the law because of how he lived and who he claimed to be. There were no crimes he committed, yet he is to serve a sentence like the criminals on either side of him. Jesus demonstrated love everywhere he went. Signs and wonders of his incredible ability to heal were witnessed by thousands of people. Feeding 5,000 people with fishes and loaves that should have only fed a few, calming the stormy seas, and then walking calmly across the water, he performed miraculous works of healing, recognized and sought justice for the oppressed, gave honor to the poor, the sick, the lame, the elderly, the child, the woman. Jesus demanded and ignited the inbreaking of heaven on earth. He invites us all to see God in the face of every human we meet, no matter what their circumstances is, no matter what their faith is, no matter what their identity is. This is not always an easy thing for us to do. But demonstration of love to this degree is amazing. It's life-changing. Beloved, it's world-changing. Jesus had a knowing that this was to be his destiny. He was in constant prayer and communication with God. He knew his destiny and what his life's purpose would be. Jesus invites us into this relationship with God so that we too can have an understanding and recognize and claim the knowing of our purpose. How is God calling us to be love in the world? Even in the face of death, Jesus shows us that love will be victorious. His enduring on the cross demonstrates that he is the King. We celebrate this Sunday as Christ the King Sunday, lifting him up and recognizing that he wasn't just a man. His life and miraculous works were the signs that he was indeed the Messiah. The final emotion for me is hope. Both criminals are understandably scared, but they respond in different ways. One begs for Jesus to not follow his purpose and instead save himself and the criminals. The other recognizes that Jesus is not at fault, but that they, as actual criminals, are deserving of their fate. He then asks Jesus to remember him when Jesus comes into his kingdom. It is a recognition that Jesus is the Messiah. And this criminal shows his faith in this moment. Jesus turns to the criminal and says, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And so it is. This scripture ends in hope. It is a promise. There is paradise waiting for them, for us. That even this criminal will have a place for having faith in these final moments. Even though he broke the law, there can be salvation still. The beautiful gift of grace is here for the taking. We don't have to earn it. It is freely given. Beloved, we are freed to love and serve our neighbor because Jesus died. There are no good works you have to do. Jesus took care of that on the cross. You don't need to bear that weight anymore. This is grace. We get to serve out of love for our God and love of our neighbor because we are free in Christ. Out of our gratitude for the gift of grace, we are invited to serve all of those around us and share this beautiful gift of love. We all make mistakes and will most certainly get it wrong sometimes. My fourth grade self can relate. And my 41-year-old self still relates to. We sometimes so desperately want to get it all right, to experience perfection, but perfection is not what we are called to. Yes, this is always easier said than done, but the beautiful part is that he loves us for all that we are. He loves all of our beautiful parts and all of our messy parts too. Jesus wants us to serve from a place of love and gratitude, a place of transparency to those around us so they can relate to us because we're being real and authentic. We lift our hearts in gratitude for the mystery and magic of Jesus's ministry and sacrifice. We lift him up as King today, thanking and praising him for teaching us to serve from our hearts. Jesus reminds us that love is the most powerful force on this earth. And wherever you see it and feel it, you are witnessing the inbreaking of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Thanks be to God.